The content found on thebestdayever.com from David Wolf and New Horizon Health, Inc. is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as treatment cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be construed as such because that would be illegal. Always work with a qualified health professional before making any changes to your diet, supplement use, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. Please understand that you assume all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.
Greetings, everybody. This is David Avocado Wolf, and I'm going to be joined in the next few minutes by Dr. Mercola. He's going to be with us at our upcoming longevity conference, and that conference is going to be held at the Hyatt Regency in Orange County, February 7th through 9th, 2014. Again, that's at the Hyatt Regency in Orange County in Garden Grove, California. February 7th through February 9th, 2014. You can find out all the details about that conference at thelongevitynowconference.com. Now, Dr. Mercola is very well known all over the internet. He's had a tremendous impact through television. He's been on the Dr. Oz show several times. He's, I think, founded the Mercola.com website about 15 years ago, so he's been at the cutting edge and developing all different kinds of strategies, whether it's to help overthrow the whole idea of vaccines or the troubles with vaccines, or whether it's genetically modified food or whatever it is that is blazing the pathway for a new healthy future. Dr. Mercola has had a hand in it in some way, shape, or form. He's an incredible personality, very interesting character, and with no further ado, welcome, Dr. Mercola. How are you?
I'm doing terrific.
It's been a while since we talked. What's been happening in the last year? I remember you were doing, an entire project regarding vaccines last time we talked and educating the public about vaccines. What happened with that, and how, what's the latest thing that you guys are working on over at Mercola.com?
I think that project, you might be referencing the time that we bought an ad, the New York Times or Times Square billboard, the Jumbotron, encouraging people to just educate themselves about vaccines. So that ad displayed for about 3 weeks, once an hour for, I think, 30 seconds. And it created quite a bit of controversy in the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they didn't like that too much. So we leveraged that investment quite heartily so we achieved a lot of media and PR about it, which was the purpose of the whole event anyway, to get people's awareness and to raise their consciousness about this issue and not blindly accept with the media or the physicians. So it was a good step in raising awareness.
Awesome. I was just reading the other day that the woman who was involved in the HPV vaccine has now totally flipped around, and she's not into it anymore, doesn't accept the science behind the vaccine. And are you aware of that research? And is that kind of what you're alerting the public to, is those kinds of problems that somehow we hear about vaccines, but never the dissenters?
Well, it's not so much the dissenters. They certainly exist, especially the one you referenced, but there's just compelling evidence and research that's being compiled that highlights some of the dangers of this. And one of the biggest ones that I've come to recently appreciate is the impairment of the cell-mediated immunity. We basically have two types of immunity, a humoral or B-cell immunity and T-cell or cell-mediated immunity. Unfortunately, when you go to your doctor and ask for an immune test, they only test for the humoral immunity. There really are no assays to tell how your cell-mediated immunity becomes impaired, but it appears that's one of the main mechanisms of vaccines, is that they impair that immune function. So that increases your risk to a whole variety of diseases, including cancer, as you grow older, if you get enough of these vaccines. And they're certainly increasing the number that is being recommended to be received on a regular basis.
Okay, interesting. So let's just clarify that. So we have B cells and we have T cells. When you go to a physician and they test your immune system, what do they test for again? They test your B cells, but not
the
your T cells?
The B cell is the humoral immunity. There really are no clinical tests for T cell or cell-mediated immunity. So, and that's one of the reasons, you know, when these comments are made that, you know, they are disputed by people who are pro-vaccines, they say the studies don't support that, but that's because the assays aren't there to test for it.
Okay, now let's jump on to, you know, I think you're probably friends with Jeffrey Smith over there at the Institute for Responsible Technology.
Yes.
He's had a big surge in popularity, and there's a lot of activity about genetically modified food in the media since the last time we spoke. What's going on with your team on that issue? How do you feel about genetically modified food? Give us an update on what's going on your side.
Well, Jeffrey's certainly a wealth of knowledge, and you know, I don't disagree with anything he says about the facts of GMO, and they really are a serious concern, which is why we were one of the main supporters of the initiative to label GMOs in the state of California last year and this year in the state of Washington. Both of those initiatives, which were direct democracy ballot initiatives, which can be done in the western states but not so much east of the Mississippi, didn't succeed because they had overwhelming financial support by the chemical and junk food industries. We're going to take a little different strategy next year. We're going to have that initiative on the ballot in Oregon. And this year we hope to win for a variety of different strategies that we intend to implement. So the writing's on the wall. We are winning even though we lose the ballot, because every time we have these campaigns, the consciousness level is raised of the public. Most of these people never even heard of them before we started these campaigns. Now at least you have a significant percentage of the population who's aware of the issue. They basically bought every possible ad slot. In the state of Washington, they spent $22 million, which is more than any other political campaign ever, including the election for governor or senator. That was a record. So much money is highly relative to the state. These are multi-billion dollars.
I know, that's ridiculous.
When you're putting in 10, 20, 30 million, it gets lost in the and the rounding off, you know. So, I mean, these are not big figures for these. These are basically most all of the big chemical industries and the junk food industries. You know, there's a half a dozen in each case, and they've got, in each one of them have $10, $100 billion or more. So it's not a big amount for these guys. So, I mean, every possible commercial was, you know, these lies, deceptions, manipulations. I don't know if you know this, but it's totally legal to lie in these campaigns. There's no penalty for lying. So they do it with great abandon. And, it's just amazing the stuff that they get away with. So, but, you know, we've got the truth on our side, and eventually we're going to obtain a victory on this. There's no question.
Now, you've obviously been an advocate for organic food and homegrown food and going back to family farming all this time.
Sure.
And tell us a little bit about, you know, how you feel about, the future of America in terms of farming, where we're going with organic. And then we'll jump into a little bit more sophisticated stuff.
Well, thank you for reminding me, because that is really one of my new passions. In the last year or so, I really have a really major shift in my attention and reading is on biological farming. Not only organic, but, you know, levels beyond organic that really result primarily from increasing the soil, the fertility of the soil, which involves regulation, but upgrading the microbiology of the soil through a variety of really interesting strategies that actually makes the soil better rather than depletes it like traditional conventional farming and industrial farming has been done for the last 60 or 70 years. We're really destroying the fertility of the soil. Yes, we get good crop yields, but at what price? We are decimating the water tables. We are basically eradicating most of a large percentage of the microbes in the soil, especially when we're using up to a billion pounds every year of glyphosate. And we know one of the side effects of glyphosates is destruction of the soil microbes. So we're getting these yields with artificial means at great expense, and the primary expense being the potential loss of ability to grow foods in the future. So earlier this year, I visited the Hippocrates Institute, and I became re-inspired about these local farming initiatives, specifically in sprouting. And I know most people listening here have tried sprouting before, but in my experience, it was probably the way I tried it 20, 30 years ago, which was sprouting in mason jars or ball jars, which certainly is useful, but it's not really ideal or most efficient way to do that. So Hippocrates teaches a way where you use these potting soils mixes. And so I've been doing that for the last 9 months, and we're really seeking to educate and catalyze an interest in people, everyone, including college students in a dorm room who don't have any space, to just grow your own sprouts and harvest them. And you can harvest a few pounds a week really easily and inexpensively, probably 90 to 95% less than you'd pay for them at Whole Foods. So you know, I think it's really one of the most powerful superfoods I know of, and I know you're really into superfoods. But when you have the living raw food of a sprout, it's one of the highest concentrations of the nutrients at that stage of the plant. So you can get up to 30 times the nutrients you can when it's fully grown.
Fantastic. I'm with you on that too. I've just been eating sprouts this week like crazy. Love sprouts, and we need more sprouts. And the metaphor does make itself available of what you're talking about. The way we're treating our soil seems to pattern over to the way we treat ourselves, right? Heavy antibiotic use, destroy the microbiology. And what you're talking about is developing the microbiology in the soil, and then even to grow your own food, which kind of reminds me of like culturing your own probiotics. So I see the metaphor between the way we treat our planet and the way we treat ourselves, and that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's the other primary tool that we're highly recommending and encouraging people to do is to ferment their own vegetables primarily. I mean, you can ferment dairy too, but vegetables I think are better. In fact, we've spent 2 years developing a specific culture that has a number of different strains that actually produce high amounts of vitamin K2. And for some of, I know most of your listeners are really highly educated. I kind of refer to them as the graduate students of health. They really know their stuff. So they're probably most aware of the difference between K2 and K1. But K2 is almost, if not as important as vitamin D, and they work synergistically together. But the challenging component is it's very hard to get in a regular diet. It's really primarily only available as a bacterial metabolite, so it's in a fermented food. So we developed a strain that you could just make these vegetables and get all the magic benefits of the trillions of bacteria, because we did cultures on these things, and if you eat them at the right time, you can get like 100 trillion bacteria in 2 to 3 ounces of these vegetables, which is as many bacteria as in your whole body. It's a phenomenal way, and I really think that's it, just as in the soil as in our bodies, the key to staying healthy and living a long life is to optimize your microbes, and whether you certainly do that in yourself, but if you do that in the soil, then you can generate food that's just magnificently nutritious and full of the minerals and other micronutrients that you're going to need to stay healthy.
But look, that is such an amazing issue right there about vitamin K2 that I want to go back to that for a second, because I think our graduate student listeners right now are thinking, okay, I've heard about vitamin K2, but I want to ask about the specificity of how far your team has gotten into. Like, have you figured out which strains produce, for example, the vitamin K2? I think there's a subgroup like M4, and then there's M7. I think there's about 7 different types of vitamin K2s, isn't that right? And we're supposed to get 4 and 7. Have you guys worked it out to that level of specificity?
There's a synthetic type, and there's other variants, but I think ours is, it's the MK7, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
It's the one. So the one that is typically produced in the same one you find in natto, because it's a bacillus that makes that strain. I think that's MK7, if I'm not mistaken. So, and that's believed to be one of the healthiest, and actually ones with the longest path life. Otherwise, you have to take these things like every 3 or 4 hours to get significant benefit. But the key thing is that, you know, you just apply the right microbes, and you don't need an advanced degree in health or medicine to figure this thing out, because your body figures it out for you. Just give it what it needs, and you know, these disease challenges that most people have, they just disappear because you're healthy. And health can't, and disease is really hard to coexist when you're healthy.
Tell us about that product. It's like a kefir starter or a probiotic starter.
No, we call it kinetic culture. We were going to spell it with 2 K's for K2, but essentially it's kinetic because it produces, we call it that way, because it produces vitamin K, K2, plus all the other benefits that you get with the microbes. There's like 12 different strains of a beneficial bacteria that multiply to very high concentrations when you ferment, because I mean the doubling time is like 20 minutes, and if you ferment this thing for a week, you can imagine just even one bacteria, it goes up 26-fold, you know, so it's a huge exponential increase. So, and if you get a predominance of these, then they drive out the pathogenic or disease-causing bacteria in your gut. And, you know, there's just an enormous amount of emerging research studies that are being published that really validate the importance of optimizing your gut flora and the for digestion, for neurological health. It's one of most of the neurotransmitters are made in your gut. Many people believe it's your second brain. So, treating common issues like depression have become much easier if you have an optimized gut and you don't have these pathogenic bacteria and yeast and fungi growing. So it's a massive, powerful, fundamental, foundational strategy that most people should embrace if they want to be healthy.
Now, let's go a little bit beyond that, because when we're dealing with overall immunity, obviously a big chunk of it is going to be that friendly gut flora, the probiotic aspect of our being. But then there's also the nutrients that we could take in, the polysaccharides from the medicinal mushrooms or from astragalus. I wanted to hear from you what your immune strategy is focused on out of the cornucopia of all these amazing herbs that we could have and superfoods that we could have.
Well, the foundational one is to stay healthy, because when you're healthy, your body is highly resistant to diseases. So, you know, that's the basic prevention. You know, the preventive strategy is 10, 20, 100 times more effective than a therapeutic intervention. But then there is the other side. When you do get sick, you know, for some reason you've fallen off the wagon and you're eating an unhealthy lifestyle, not getting enough sleep, or, you know, whatever reason, you're sick. And that requires a different intervention. But I really think that, as you mentioned, one of the ones the benefits of optimizing your immune or your gut flora is a massive improvement in your immune system. I mean, that's really where it's at. So if you can optimize your gut flora, and you combine that with a phenomenal diet that most people listening to are aware of, essentially, you know, lots of non-starchy vegetables and minimizing and not high amounts of protein, which is one of the reasons I think that vegetarians do so well, is because typically they don't have a lot of protein. And when you eat too much protein, that can cause loads of problems. And then, of course, the bulk of that is made up with healthy, beneficial fats. If you're having these processed vegetable oils full of omega-6 fats and they're heated in these trans fats, you know, then that's really going to integrate into your cellular structure and cause problems and inability for your body to work the way it was designed. So if you give them the right fuel and the right nutrients, optimize your gut flora, eat lots of great raw vegetables and foods and sprouts. You know, in my mind, it's your immune system is optimized, and it's really, really difficult to get sick. I can't remember the last time I had a cough, cold, or flu. And it's just, you know, now it doesn't mean I won't get that, but, you know, and I think for healthy people like you and I and people listening to this, the biggest challenge is getting enough sleep, because if you go without a lot of sleep or impaired sleep for a significant amount of time, your defense mechanism, your immune system is going to be challenged, and, you know, even with the best diet, you're going to get sick.
Okay, that brings up a few issues. One is, before we get off this topic of getting super healthy, you are a super fitness buff. You are into all the different modalities of fitness out there. What's the latest thing for you? I know what the latest thing for me is. I've been doing a lot of these 45-minute super high-intensity training types of things. But what about you? What are you doing? What's your research?
Well, I think for the last 4 years, I've been doing the high-intensity exercises that we coin peak fitness. But the newest, and that's, you know, sort of the core of my program, to improve cardiovascular fitness. And the beauty of that is that it doesn't require 45 minutes. It doesn't require an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. It requires 20 minutes. And of that 20 minutes, which you do two or three times a week, only 4 minutes of that is exercise. The rest of it is warming up or cooling down. So it's a relatively brief but highly intense exercise, and that produces far more benefits that you can for 2-3 hours a day of cardio. So, I mean, that's the core of it. But one of the most amazing things I've learned of, David, and this is really extraordinary, and I'm not sure if you've tapped into this yet, but about 2 years ago, the evidence started coming out in the studies showing that super fit, even professional Olympic caliber athletes, were getting sick and dying prematurely if they sat most of the day, independent of how fit they were. And to me, that didn't add up, and I thought the studies were flawed. But when they started coming, more and more were being published, it was a very consistent trend. Clearly there was no flaw in the methodology. So it had to accept it for truth. And then I stumbled upon a NASA scientist, Dr. Joan Vernikos, who is now retired from NASA, but she was working for 30 years and was the primary clinician responsible for optimizing the astronauts' health and addressing the health challenges they occurred from exposing themselves to microgravity in space. And what she found, it appeared to be speed up the aging process, but it was highly reversible, and it wasn't related to aging at all. It was related to this microgravity situation. And the most interesting aspect of her research is that she found that most of us incur a similar decline in health when we're sitting. which puts us into this like mini microgravity environment. And, you know, I was absolutely guilty of this. I would be sitting for 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day. I would still work out pretty much every day, but I would, you know, most of my life was sitting in front of a computer screen. So that was just an epiphany. And so there's a, fortunately, there's a really simple strategy. Something as simple as standing up every 10 minutes, you know, is a simple thing. And then I most recently learned of a really great, you know, so even if you're sitting down there, the part of the problem is not just sitting itself, but this, the posture you assume when you're sitting. Because almost everyone listening to this, this is where this is like really new information. There, I mean, we've heard about it, but knowing how to address it in a way that's effective is to sit in their chair properly with proper posture. And I encountered a woman you might have heard of because she's in your area of the woods. It's Esther Gokley. And she's,
I've heard of her.
Yeah, she's a magnificent woman, and she's out in Silicon Valley, treats a lot of the high-tech people out there, like the Google guys and, you know, people at Oracle, and she's gotten a lot of, I first read of her in the New York Times, so I connected with her, I interviewed her, and then I was actually spent like 4 days with her up at Weston Price in Atlanta just a few weeks ago, and she mentored me personally throughout 6 or 8 hours in understanding this posture, so I am so jazzed, because you know, it's super important exercise. It's really almost impossible to be ideally healthy without a good exercise program. But what's more important, I think, than exercise is that what we call the NEA or the non-exercise activities, because that's so much more of your time throughout the day. So you can almost erase the exercise benefits with improper posture. So, you know, it's just made a dramatic shift in the way, in my personal fitness program and the way I feel and relate with people, relationships. It's just amazing what it can do to you. So that's been one of my newest epiphanies is the importance of these non-exercise activities.
Can you take us through like just a real quick download on what's a good posture if we have to sit in front of that computer in a minute or less? What should we do?
Well, actually, the best way is to encourage you to go to either my site or go to Google, because Esther has given TED Talks in 20 minutes, because it's really hard to capsulize in 1 minute. But her last name is not spelled like it sounds. It's G-O-K-H-A-L-E, Gokley. And then listen to the whole thing. But basically, The two components of it are sort of shifting your pelvis anteriorly, because we tend to put most of it shifted posteriorly, and then rolling your shoulders back, and then adjusting your head to get back so that your ears are over your shoulders, and then making sure your foot's in the right posture. And there's these other little tips that she goes into in her training course where you can actually, she engages and teaches how you engage in a process called stretch sitting, where you're actually stretching your lumbar spine when you sit. So you're actually giving yourself therapy when you're sitting down, which is just an amazing process. So I can't be more delighted. And she, you know, it's one of my goals is to help people understand her work, because it's so simple, practical, inexpensive, and the reward on that is just amazing, because as you age, as you know, our body tends to become less flexible, and we're even though we may be eating the right foods, become crippled with these pains that just limit our ability to enjoy life and participate and engage fully. So just integrating these simple steps in your health regimen can have enormous benefits for you. And you know, and I was totally guilty of that. I was like mid 50s, and I was even though I was in shape, I was just had back pain, and I just was losing flexibility. I didn't know what was going on, and it all was related to this sitting that I was doing all day long.
Interesting. Okay, so for anybody joining us right now, this is David Avocado Wolf. I'm speaking with Dr. Joseph Mercola, and we are gearing up for the Longevity Conference coming up February 7th through 9th, 2014, right into that new year at the Hyatt in Orange County. It's going to be an incredible event. So speaking of that, Dr. Mercola, I wanted to ask you one more question, and then I wanted to get into what you're going to present at the conference. You mentioned sleep a minute ago, and problems that can be generated by lack of sleep, especially immunological problems. What are some of your recommendations for sleep? There's a lot of insomnia out there. You're aware of it, I think, like I am, where it is affecting millions of people, tens of millions of people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's no question.
What do you think we should do? How would you address that? What's your recommendations?
Well, of course, eating the healthy foods. If you're having a lot of sugar, it's going to be a real challenge to eat well because you're going to be insulin and leptin resistant, and that's going to cause a whole variety of hormonal dysfunctions, and specifically melatonin. And one of the really cool ways to enhance your melatonin is to make sure that you have exposure to lots of bright sunlight. And some people where they live, that's a challenge. But if you can't, you can get even, especially in the winter, these lights that are called SAD lights, S-A-D lights, that can give you the 10,000 lux exposure. But you do need exposure to really bright sunlight in the daytime. And the other part of the equation that many people don't really fully appreciate is that you really need to sleep in pitch darkness. I mean, you should sleep in a bedroom that when you hold your hand in front of your face, you can't see your hand. It should be that dark. And it's not that hard to do. You can get blackout drapes or shades, and they're not terribly expensive, but they're totally worth the environment. Clearly, you want to also sleep in an EMF-free environment. So if you got your clock radio next to your head, that's not a good idea. You know, you really, because it's going to generate EMFs. So that's one of the tricks I use. You know, because usually when I go to, unfortunately, I travel too much and I'm using hotel rooms. So, and it's usually a queen or a king size bed. And then I, well, which side of the bed do I sleep on? I sleep on the side where the clock radio is not. You know, so stay far away from that. And then the other thing I do is you're absolutely aware of this because I've seen Clint over at your conference, and your people appreciate the importance of grounding and having free electrons flowing through your system, is I always travel with a grounding sheet. So I make sure that I've got these free electrons flowing through to help. I don't know how specifically improves your sleep, but it's certainly going to improve your health as a great strategy.
There's a lot of research that indicates it improves your sleep, and that's one of the reasons why I travel with that system, too. Do you travel with a sheet or a recovery bag, or what's the system that you take?
No, I use something that's not available for most people. I've known Clint for almost 10 years, so he gives me some of his beta products, and I've got this really – it's almost like a blanket. It's with silver threads. It's really thick, lush blanket. And it's nice. It's about 3 foot. It rolls up to the size of a really thick towel. So it's very comfortable to sleep on. So I just travel with that. I keep with you.
By the way,
space in my luggage, but it's worth it.
If you're into grounding or earthing and Clint Ober's innovations, as both Dr. McCullough and I are into, a grounded yoga mat is on the way. I have it with me actually right now. I've been traveling with it and been going to yoga class with it, and I got to tell you, Dr. McCullough, it's been awesome. I remember when Clint first told me that he found out, you know, that grounding and that free flow of electrons from the earth, the way he found out that was actually diminishing pain was that he actually had put a grounding strap on a woman's hand who had arthritis in that hand. And in 5 minutes, she said, "Hey, don't take that thing off. My pain's gone." And that's how that whole awareness came, which has since been validated by his studies and research. And so, yeah, just a little grounding strap can be an excellent
I've
addition.
Got some new insights for you, too, on why grounding may work.
Okay, what do you got?
It has to do with the quality of water inside your body. I'm sure you're familiar with structured water, of course. And Dr. Gerald Pollack, who's a biophysicist at the University of Washington, is probably one of the world leaders in understanding the structured water. And he calls it something a little bit different. He calls it EZ water. But essentially, this is the water that's inside your cells that your body uses. And what most likely happens is that this water, when you have this free flow of electrons and you have this structure, it actually facilitates the formation of this structured water inside your body, especially if you're drinking structured water, because structured water itself has these negative hydrogen ions, which work synergistically with the grounding. It's pretty phenomenal. I just actually interviewed Patrick Flanagan last week.
Oh, right.
Yeah, an amazing guy. You know, one of the pioneers in this area has been doing structured water for decades. And I've asked Clint and Dr. Pollack and any other experts I can on this area. No one really seemed to know, but he's the only guy that gave me the answer. And it's this marriage that they work together. The electrons, the hydrogen, negative hydrogen ions that you get in structured water, which could be in bottled spring water. You don't have to have a device to make that, but you need to supply, and certainly raw food, which is one of the reasons why people eat lots of raw food are so healthy, because of these negative hydrogen ions. But that works synergistically with the electrons you get from grounding. So it's the marriage of those two that really empower and catalyze your body to high levels of health.
That's awesome. Okay, so you are going to be with us on that great weekend we're going to have at the Longevity Conference, and you've been a crowd favorite there for years, and we're so glad to have you back. You know, give us a little bit of a teaser, maybe.
Well, basically, just everything I just reviewed in the last half hour or so is, you know, just in more details because, maybe it's some new things because we're always learning new things. But, you know, this vortexing structured water is really one of our, another one of our passions because, you know, you can test this biologically because, you know, you could say, oh, yes, it's got higher, it has different density, a different pH, different viscosity. You know, well, what the heck does that mean? Well, when you grow, remember, sprouts is another one of my passions. And then when you actually use structured water is the water to sprout with, you get 30 to 40% more harvest when you use a structured water. So that's a strong biological clue that this is a different type of water. Dr. Pollack actually thinks it actually has a different chemical name. It's not H2O, it's H3O2 because of the way the water's structured. So we're actually doing research now. We've been doing it for over a year and hope to maybe within next year, I'm hoping by next year we'll have a device that is able to structure water that's about half the cost of ones that are typically available commercially and producing higher quality water because of some of the research we're able to put together with it.
Fantastic. Yeah. Dr. McCullough, I don't want to take up any more of your time. You've been always such a crowd favorite. We're so happy to have you back, and thanks so much for your time today. For everybody listening, this is David Wolf, and I'm speaking with Dr. McCullough. McCullough.com, M-E-R-C-O-L-A.com, one of the great health resources out there on the internet. And his information is always great on Twitter. I'm always learning a lot. He's got great links and giving you great access to the research that's out there. He's going to be joining us along with a whole host of speakers at the Longevity Conference coming up February 7th through 9th, 2014, right into the new year. We're going to be at the Hyatt in Orange County. All those details are on this website. Any last bits of advice for us, Dr. McCullough?
Well, I would strongly recommend people to go to attend this event. It's really one of my favorites. I don't speak very frequently, but when I do, I have a chance, obviously, to interact with the community of people there, and it's just really it consistently surprises me the level of the commitment and to health at the people at your event. I mean, and they have consistently been the healthiest people I've ever seen at any event. I mean, it's just kind of surprising and sad at the same time that a lot of the healthcare professionals just aren't as committed to being healthy, you know, but your followers clearly are. And if you're looking to interact with a community like that, I strongly recommend if you haven't gone before. And certainly if you have gone before, you'll know what to expect. But it's a lot of fun, and you really present a great event, and it's just really engaging, and you'll learn a lot of information, and specifically exhibitors, too. We've got great exhibitors there. So.
And we'll be giving away over $10,000 in free prizes. So if you are at the event it looks like we're going to have about 1,500 people in total, you'll be able to get some free prizes as well, very likely. Thank you so much. I'm David Avocado Wolf signing off for both myself and Dr. McCullough. Have the best day ever.